I have a title for the little thought this morning. I've been thinking on this for some time and experiencing the grace of God, probably in a way I've never experienced His grace before. I find that grace is something that is hard to really identify and explain, but I believe the Lord wants to open it up to us. This morning, early this morning, in my dream, and it doesn't seem like I remember dreams, but it was not long before I awakened, and it actually awakened me. And these words were going over and over in my mind of exceeding abundantly above. And I just finally woke up and began to think about that phrase of how that God's grace is exceeding abundantly above what we could ask or think. And we're going to probably read that whole verse. Grace is really a constant theme throughout the whole Bible. Oftentimes we get to thinking that grace is only for the New Testament, that Christ came and gave His life and shed His blood, and now we have the grace of God. But you can look through the Old Testament and you can find places that God's grace was very apparent. We could name out some of those. You could find that in Daniel. Daniel, he had the grace of God to do what was right. You could find it in the Hebrew children, the three Hebrew children. It was the grace of God that caused them to want to obey God rather than man. You can look at Joseph and you can find that it was the grace of God that sustained him when he was falsely accused in Potiphar's house. It was the grace of God that kept him when he was in the prison. So there's many, many characters of the Bible that demonstrated the grace of God. Now, God wants you and me to demonstrate the grace of God in our life. So we're going to talk a little bit about grace before we come to a little thought about ourselves. But grace is a constant theme throughout God's Word. I also have thought of how we have a definition that is often given for grace, and it's simply called the unmerited favor of God. And while I believe that, I know that's true, I believe it's much deeper than that. To me, that's sort of a surface definition for grace, for the grace of God. I do believe that God loves mankind, and His grace is a love that is unmerited. We don't deserve the love of God, and yet He said He so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son. So we know that the love of God is a form of the grace of God. But yet there is so much about His grace that you and I experience every day. We have tasted of His grace. We know what His grace can do. If we have ever been in a place that we were crying out to the Lord, and maybe in our prayers we still, you may do it every day, Lord, give me grace to, and you can fill in the blank. Whatever you're faced with, you're crying out to the Lord, Lord, give me grace. And it's not just unmerited favor that you're asking for. It's asking for something that is much deeper and much more powerful than just the fact that He loves me and He loves the whole world. Yes, He has unmerited favor, but yes, He has something that is deeper than that. It is actually a power that you and I cannot hardly identify in words, but we can experience it in our lives. Ephesians 3 and 20. This is the scripture. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In my life, as I would read that scripture, I would be thinking of things that I needed the Lord to do for me. Something that I needed him to supply. Things that were beyond what I could comprehend. Things that I would maybe even call a miracle. And oftentimes we have instances in our life and we'll say, oh, that was a miracle. When in reality, it might not be a miracle. It might just be a happening and it worked our way. It made us happy and we called it a miracle. But I want to tell you something. When God gives you and me something abundantly above what we could ask or think, giving us power, because it says, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, if I were to write on the board and draw a line down through the middle of the board, and on one side I would put God, and then on the other side I would put man. Grace is something that is a supply for man, but man has to reach out and grasp it. It's not going to be poured out upon you just because there's grace in God has grace. He wants you to receive grace. He wants me to receive grace. He wants us to do it for the right reason. So with this passage that I have just read, which I feel is a profound passage that has to do with grace. It doesn't have the word grace necessarily in there, but the meaning of it. I believe with all my heart, having passed through some experiences, that it is abundant grace. It is exceeding grace. It is above what I could ask or think that God can do for his people that call upon him and who has him living in their hearts and lives, and his power is working in our lives. They work together. That's why I say there would be one side over here, God, and there would be one over here of man, and he wants his grace to mesh. He wants man to mesh with his grace, and he wants his grace to mesh. What does that mean? Mix together. Take hold of. Work. So, in a way, I'm almost jumping ahead of myself by introducing this particular verse early on. So a portion of a scripture in Romans, the first chapter in verse 20, just the last part, I want to insert it here. I think by the end of the message, we will see how God is supplying the power for everyone who will receive the power. When we think of that, all that God has provided, will provide, does provide, then the latter part of that verse says, they are without excuse. Because of what God has provided all through his word, including in the New Testament where Christ died and paid the price, the power is there. That is grace. Grace for me to choose to do what is right, to live for God, to submit myself unto him. So at the judgment day, will you have an excuse? that grace was not enough, that what his plan said. I'm thinking of some of the things that people say and maybe do say when they come before God. I could not live a saved life. That's an excuse. Or there's an excuse like, I just could not resist temptation. Do you know, man monopolize their weaknesses. They like to have a reason for their weaknesses and say, I can't overcome it. That's an excuse. And it will not stand at the judgment. There's another excuse. Oh, there's many excuses, but some of these are just major ones. It says, I could not forgive. That will be an excuse because God has grace for you and me to forgive those that trespass against us. Thank the Lord. We have to seek for it. We have to mesh with His grace, but He has sufficient grace for us. Thank the Lord. Whatever will be an excuse at the judgment, it will not stand because God will say, I had grace for you. He does have grace for us today. So the next supporting scripture I want to insert here is in the 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 9, and a very familiar scripture. And we know the account. We know that it was written of Paul and that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Anyone here have a thorn in the flesh of some kind? You experience something that it seems like it continually comes up and you continually fight the battle for it and you want to be delivered from it. And God says, like he said to Paul, no, I'm going to give you grace. And the phrase of verse on verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So we have a weakness. We have an ongoing weakness. God is saying, I've got grace for you. That you can rise above it. You can have power to overcome it. Because I've got strength or grace to give you in your weakness. I have experienced that many times, the Lord speaking that to me, when it's something I feel like I cannot do, that my flesh, you see, the scripture says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh wants to be pacified. It wants to have its way. It doesn't want to submit its will. And that's what happens in order for me to have grace. But what God is saying, I have sufficient grace for you. And in your weak areas, you can be made strong. Through my grace. Thank the Lord. I want to testify what the Lord has done for me. After Lauren passed, I felt, like I have said here, felt like I couldn't hardly face life without him. That was my flesh. And then when God did for me as he did, he also made known that there was a line that was drawn and that as long as I relied on his grace and not crossed that line where I would give in to my flesh, there would be power for me to overcome. It was very real. It was not in my mind. It wasn't just imagination. It was a power that when I yielded myself to the grace of God, the power was there. It wasn't anything of myself, but my will was very involved. And that's what I have found, is that with grace, with the grace of God that He has offered to you and me, we can have the power to overcome anything. Do you believe that? Yes. I believe that. I believe that He has power for you and me to overcome our flesh in this life. Thank the Lord. If I did not believe it, if I did not experience it, I would be here lying to you today. But the word of the Lord is true, and it does not lie. So I want to read now 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 10, and it says, "But the God of all grace." Is there one area that He does not have grace? Is there one place? Is there one sin? Is there one part of my life that He cannot be a grace? There cannot be a grace for my life. He is the giver of all grace, and He has called you and me. This is part of the, I'm paraphrasing now. To share in His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. And then the latter part of that says something. After you have suffered for a while. Maybe He allows us to go through some hard places and we suffer for a while. And He allows it. And maybe we don't feel the grace during that period of time. But as we wait on the Lord, as we cry out to Him and say, "Give me grace to do Your will," and our own will is being subject to a test, it says, if after we've suffered for a while, what is the grace going to do? It's going to make us perfect. It's going to make us established and strengthened, and He will settle us. But it takes man meshing with the grace of God that is available. He has it available, but it's going to have to be me taking hold of it. And He has a wonderful blessing for you and me after we have suffered a while, after our flesh has been brought under, after we have been subject to His will, then we will be made perfect. A lot of people like to say, "Well, I'm not perfect." Well, we sometimes experience our imperfections so that He might make us perfect. In that area, it's ever going, ongoing. It doesn't, you know, grace doesn't stop with just salvation. It's ever ongoing, working, producing the power in our lives. So God is able. He is the God of all grace. And He wants to do something with you and me by His grace. Thank the Lord. So I'm going to speak now just a little bit on the work of grace. Grace, as we said, it's unmerited favor, but it's the influence of God. Grace is an influence, has an influence. It works with us. It speaks to us. It draws us. It has a way of communicating the mind of God and how He looks at things, how He judges things, that you and I may not judge that way. We may look at it and not see it in the same light that God sees it, but grace speaks to us. It's an influence that comes in our life, but it's also a divine influence of the Spirit to doing something to my heart, renewing my heart and restraining me from sin. God's grace wants to do that in our life. He wants to, not only does the blood of Jesus work a work, but then the power of His grace is to work a work, to cause us to see things as exceedingly sinful. If you and I do not see sin as exceedingly sinful, why would we want grace to overcome it? But as we have a vision and the Spirit is speaking expressly unto us and opening our eyes and causing us to see how God looks on this thing, then you and I can look on that thing and then we will say, we will cry, Lord, give me grace to overcome this. And He will do it. It's there. He's provided it. Thank the Lord. So the work of grace, it does more than just, it's not just a word. It's not just a, some say, well, it's the very nature of God. It's the character of God. And it is the character of God, but He wants man to benefit from His character of grace. It empowers you and me to do the impossible. I know that I could not do what I'm doing by His grace right now. It would be impossible. But it is upholding me. It is bearing me up. It's the lifter up of my head. It's the giver of the power in my life to be subject to His will. So the grace of God is to do what we never could do for ourselves. I could never do this in my own strength, but with God's grace, I can. Thank the Lord. You know, David said in one place, he said he could leap over a wall and run through a troop. He couldn't do that in his own strength. It was something beyond him. But by the grace of God, he was able to be what he couldn't be otherwise. There's another place that is an example of God's grace, and it was with David. He had opportunity that he could have slain Saul. Saul was asleep. He could have taken his life. But he would not, by the grace of God, touch the Lord's anointed. Oh, don't you see the grace of God enabling individuals to do things they could not do in themselves? That's what God's grace is wanting to do for each of us. Now, Ephesians, the second chapter in verse 8, it says, and for by grace, I put in a little parenthesis, by this grace are you saved. And that not of yourselves. You and I are actually saved in the beginning of our salvation was absolutely by the grace of God. We may not have analyzed it and thought of it, but God's grace is why you are where you are today. If you have salvation, if you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, it was because God sent His Son and that grace was ministered out to you and me. God was the original mover of your salvation, of my salvation. Thank the Lord. And I think of, I just said that some say that's His character and His nature. Well, it was His very character and His nature that moved Him to reach out to mankind. And the very fact of His own grace that offered salvation and eternal life. So again, He is the God of all grace. And he is calling for you and me to press. What are we to press toward? The mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. He's calling for us to rise above our humanity because he has grace for us. Now I would like to speak just a little bit on the benefits of grace. The first scripture that I have is in Titus, the second chapter, and I want to read verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. The grace of God will teach you and me something. And it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. This is one of the great benefits of grace. God's grace wants to be vocal. He wants you to hear the voice of the Lord. We can, in this world, if we have been striving to live for the Lord, if we go out in the world and we observe the wickedness of this world, and we do, we're not exempt from visually seeing wickedness in this world. And yet he says, I want to teach you something, why you should refrain from that. One scripture says, an example is to make a covenant with your eyes. You know, I've been in places, you've probably been in places where a television is on. A television actually is like a magnet. It can draw your eyes to it. Been in a place waiting on my car to be fixed and a television going. I can, by the grace of God, turn my eyes away from it. God gives me the power to do it. I remember one time, a number of years ago, I was in a jury pool, and they had several TVs in that room. I'm using this as an example. And I was, I had picked up a little book to read while I was waiting in the jury pool, and it was on the corrupt tree put out by Faith and Victory. I used that book to divert my eyes from being drawn to the television. There was someone in that group that knew me, was once among the saints. I didn't know it. They watched me. They wanted to see, they said, they told me this later. They wanted to see if I would really demonstrate the grace of God. So later they saw me. I never saw them the whole time I was in the jury pool. And they came and they told me that. I want to tell you something. Somebody's watching us. Somebody's observing us. Somebody's looking on and hoping that we will demonstrate the grace of God. They want to see a people that will avail themselves of the power of God to overcome my flesh. Thank the Lord. So God has the power that you and I need. Let's go back to our reading. He is desiring to teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Let's go to the next scripture. We're speaking of the benefits of the grace of God. The next scripture is Romans 5 and 20. And it says, where sin doth abound, grace did much more abound. We have no excuse. Well, we're living in a sinful world. Sin is all around us. The temptations are all around us. The wickedness, the darkness. If we dwell on those things, we will miss the grace of God. God is wanting to teach us. He's also wanting us to understand if the whole world is in sin and darkness, if you're the only child of God in this world, my grace is sufficient for you. Do you believe that? Well, I don't believe you're going to be the only child of God in this world, but God's grace is sufficient where sin doth abound. His grace is greater than the amount of sin that is out there in this world. Now I want to turn to Hebrews. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And I want to look at verses 14 through 16. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Well, that really doesn't say have grace, but that's what it means. We play a part. We have a part in accepting the grace of God. So, We must hold fast our profession. 15, if we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, this is a scripture that we need to always remember. That he was tempted like we are tempted, and yet he didn't yield. Don't you know that Christ also availed himself of the grace of his Father? The grace of God was resting upon him because he yielded to it. He was subject to the grace of God, and he was tempted, and he did not sin. Then verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. When you're in trouble, come boldly to the throne of grace. Resist the devil. The scripture says, if we resist the devil, he will flee. We must resist the devil in the name of Jesus. And the grace of God will be there and uphold us. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, the Lord is calling for us to be overcomers by his grace. Be an overcomer. The song says only cowards yield. Those that will not stand up and resist the devil and rebuke the devil and avail themselves of the grace of God. The next scripture is James, the fourth chapter, verse 6. Remember, we're talking about the benefits of his grace. It says here, verse 6 in part of 7, he giveth more grace. Well, one time we were delivering a message here, and it was on, he will perfect that which concerneth you. And there was somebody that was in opposition to the message, And they said, I made the statement. I said, you can be more perfect. God will make you more perfect. And this person said, you cannot be more perfect. Perfect is perfect. You cannot be more perfect. I challenge that even today. God has a way of perfecting us as we go through life, as he allows us to suffer for a while, to go through the trials and the tests. Don't you know he's doing something? It's not just to allow you to go through something. He is doing it so his grace will be sufficient and you will grow in grace. And you will grow in the things of God. And he will perfect you. So he giveth more grace. So he giveth you grace in one area. And you grow in that grace. And then you go to another trial. And he gives you grace. He gives you more grace. His grace will not run out. He says, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Why would he put that in there? But giveth grace to the humble. For you and me to receive of his grace, we must humble ourselves. We must not be proud or lifted up or think I have the power to do it on my own. Oh, I've done this for a long time. I know how to do this. I can. No, we need to feel our great dependency upon God's grace to sustain us and uphold us. So the verse 7, it goes on and it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Oh, submission to God is so important. Don't ever feel so independent that you can make it on your own. We must be subject. We must submit ourselves unto God. And then the next verse says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. When he sees that you're availing yourself of his power and his grace, he'll quickly come to you. He'll be there to uphold you. Thank the Lord. So, I said, I don't know if I gave actually the title of our little thought, but it comes in with the latter part of our message this morning. And it is grace for grace. And the Lord has grace for you and me to have grace. And they work together. It produces a strength. So, to have grace for grace, how can, this is the latter part of our thought today, how can I know the grace of God? Ultimately, it is through your obedience to his word. Ultimately, it is you and I are most fulfilled when we obey and know we obey God's word. We feel his approval. We feel his love at those times that's more, it's manifested in a way that we feel pleasing unto God. So I want to turn now to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and read several verses there. And the 8th chapter, I want to read verses 7, 9, 11, and 12. Verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love. Okay, he's mentioned several things here now of how you abound. If we are following the Lord and seeking after him daily and asking him for grace, we will begin to abound and grow in these areas of our life, in faith, in utterance, in the way we talk, maybe the way we testify, the way we communicate, even the sound of our voice. Can the sound of your voice be positive or negative? It can be negative. But the sound of our voice, if it's the sound of grace, what a pleasure it is to those that hear our voice. So in utterance, in knowledge, learning of Him, learning of how He is able to help us, coming before Him boldly to the throne of grace, and in all diligence, being diligent. Oh, diligence is very important in this day. We need to have a desire that is burning within us because we're being tested and tried as the people of God. We need diligence to want to live for the Lord, to want to make heaven my home, to endure to the end. And in your love, oh, I want to tell you, we need greater love. It seems like of late I believe the Lord wants to hear me say to Him, I love you. Don't you know that He loves us and He wants us to respond to that love? And I have said it to the Lord, I love you. Oh, we need to have a greater love. But listen to what it says. Now, He spoke here about abounding in everything. See that ye abound in this grace. Avail yourself of the grace of God. Reach out, embrace it, accept it, submit yourself unto it. Now verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. What does that mean? Christ was in the heavens with His Father. He was rich. He had it all. He left the glories of heaven to come and be a man, to take on flesh, to take on how human beings felt. That He tasted of that so that He would be, and it says He became poor for you and me. It was the grace of His Father that He came here, willingly came, and was subject to being a man in human flesh. Now verse 11. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable to that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not. That's part of the way that we can know the grace of God, is to be willing, to have a willing mind, a readiness to perform it, to allow it to be performed in my life. It will go against my flesh. But oh, the precious victory that He wants to give you and me by the grace of God. His grace is sufficient. So obedience to His word is to do the will of the Father. And that is grace for grace. He'll give us grace to have grace. And it simply means that you and I will be living to what we know is true. You know, we're not ignorant. We're not an ignorant people. We're not walking in darkness. We're not blind. God has allowed us to have light and understanding. And He says, walk in that. I'll give you grace to walk in the light. I'll give you grace to walk out of darkness into the light. So we receive. What will happen? How will we know the grace of God? We'll receive the fullness of what He has to offer. You know, there's many events of life that require the grace of God. And I'm thinking of a song that came to me. And it's the God of the Mountain. And I'd encourage you to listen to it if you have it on your phone or can get it. It talks about, in the second verse, we talk of faith when we're up on the mountain. Doesn't seem like we need a whole lot of grace when everything's going our way, do we? It's just, everything's good. It says, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But in the valley of trials and temptations, the song says that's when faith is really put to the test. But I want to say, in place of faith, that's when grace is really put to the test. When we pass through areas that our flesh is being tested, temptations are being presented, we're having to fight a little bit harder. That's when grace is being put to the test. But God's grace is well sufficient for every need that you may have. It will help you be an overcomer. Thank the Lord. I feel a great need. I feel that God is well pleased when I allow His grace to rule my life. Pray for me.